This is Kent from WhiteNinjaComics.com, and you are listening to Webcomic Beacon.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Make sure we're recording. Alright, welcome to episode 40 of the Webcomic Beacon. This is Fess of FessandErnst.com, and with me, as almost usual, is Tanya of Betapone.com.
Hello, hello.
As well as Aaron of TBullComic.com.
Oh yeah.
Alright, and this week we are talking about webcomic superheroes, or superhero webcomics. Yeah, there we go. And we got a full panel of guests this week. First off, we got we welcome back Ben of PointGuardian.com.
Hello, glad to be here again.
Awesome. Following up is Al of Mind Mistress.
Glad to be here.
Welcome. MindMistress.ComicGenesis.com, right?
Right, exactly.
Alrighty. We have Neil of
Dessian.
Dessian?
Yes.
Dessian of DessianComic.com. Welcome.
That's right. Hello.
And also we have Abby of The Green Avenger of Green-Avenger.com. Welcome.
Hi.
Alrighty, and here we are we're ready to kick off the show here. First off, we're going to go through and I'm going to extendedly introduce everybody a little bit more. Well, we already know about Ben, so we can skip Ben. Ben, but no, I'm just kidding. Ben, you can do at least a quick recap of Point Guardian.
Alright, well, Point Guardian is a so-called serious superhero webcomic that tries to imitate what a print comic would be on the web, minus the color, because I try to do like the 22 plus pages a month like a comic book has, with a cover and the comic book style storylines and all that. I try to tell a more honest kind of superhero story without all the angst, the darkness, the cloudiness, the Alan Moore-ness. Not to say Alan Moore is not a great creator, but he started this whole angst thing, and he's ashamed of it now, and so should we.
Alrighty then. Thank you for that brief analysis. And moving on to... okay, wait. All right, here we go. Al of Mind Mistress. Tell us a little bit about your comic.
Well, basically, it's about a mentally challenged young woman, as in, literally mentally challenged, special needs type.
A person with mental disabilities.
Exactly. And whose mother was a neurologist who discovered a process that would up intelligence a dozenfold. And... through circumstances that you'd have to read in the comic, she gets a locket that enables her to, for a period of time, become 12 times more intelligent. So now makes Reed Richards look like a dunce sometimes, okay? And that's, like Iron Man, she's developed her own armor to, protect herself, but she's not really a superheroine in the traditional sense. Basically, she gets interested in something or curious about something, gets involved with it, but she has no interest in stopping bank robbers or, reveal herself to the world or that sort of thing. More than someone stuck on an island with a bunch of monkeys would be interested in, wiping their noses all the time. She's got other stuff to do. As things iron out, she gets involved with things sometimes against her will, and it leads for some interesting stories. Again, there's a lot of strong early Fantastic Four influence, the way Reed would always get them involved in these fantastic adventures. Well, she has that same sort of propensity. And it's been running since 2002, and I've done about 18 storylines so far, and, you know, I'm still coming up with ideas for it. It's not grown old for me yet.
Cool. And one of the big things that almost everybody will have will notice when going to your comic is it's very, very, I think, the most uniquely designed comic that I've seen. I don't know how you do your comic, but I don't recall seeing any other comic drawn quite like this. Can you tell us a little bit about your process?
Well, I start out with usual, like a storyline synopsis, and then I do thumbnails. Neil there has seen some of my thumbnails that I've done for our group book, Cross Overlord, okay? Then I will what I usually do is I use a Word document process, and then I get images together to make a collage to draw from. I don't trace or anything, but, you know, I get together images sort of like Jack Kirby used to do to create, you know, artistic images to look at and then use that to base my drawings on.
Okay. Do you have certain models, or do you like have regularly used people or pictures?
Yes, I do. And you know, it's one of those things that I probably the photographers could probably look at and say right away and sue me for $1 million if I made any money from this. But Liv Tyler is basically the model for my mistress. When I started out, it was someone like Liv Tyler or Jennifer Connelly or any fairly pretty brunette. But basically, she's really sort of the image I was going for, at least as my mistress, sort of a little aloof, pretty, but not overly in figure, okay?
Right.
And basically a picture where Liv Tyler is smiling is usually Lorelai, her alter ego, with blonde hair in it, and for instance, Bloodlust, who's probably her most recurring villain, is based on Brad Pitt, and I give her father. I take Sean Connery's face, the older Sean Connery, the one with the beard, and give him a thing of red hair, and that's pretty much Ezekiel the Lion.
Alrighty. Well, that's a cool, interesting way, and I think one of the more unique ways that I've seen a webcomic put together. So cool. We're going to move on and get to Neil of... How do you say it again?
Dacian.
Dacian.
Okay.
Oh,
God. Okay, how do I describe this? Basically, everything that my mistress isn't. It's an homage, not a parody, but an homage to other superhero in comics like Gen 13 and She-Hulk and stuff like that.
She-Hulk? Really?
I think I see a fair bit of Fairchild in there as well.
Yeah, definitely a lot of Fairchilds in there. And basically the idea came about for me being a guy and watching Linda Carter as Wonder Woman on TV when I was very young. I'm tongue-tied. She's not a mutant, but she was given a viral implant of some kind that makes her very strong, and that's basically my whole explanation for her powers. She's basically modeled after, I've already forgotten.
Awesome.
Modeled after that one chick.
Cameron Diaz.
What was that?
Cameron Diaz is who you told me.
Yeah,
that apparently is.
One of them, anyway.
And I believe he also said that the costume was somewhat inspired by Black Canary, right?
Yeah. Charlize Theron. That's who she's supposed to look like, or originally was supposed to look like. She's
Jessica Alba in there now.
Yes, definitely Jessica Alba, especially when Al draws her. Basically, the story is that she's hunted by a supervillain group that wants to destroy her, and she's fighting for her life, but also engaging them out of the sheer fun of it. And you can tell I don't like talking.
Actually, I'm making fun of. I'm laughing at like the ice maker sounds that are coming. I believe from Ben.
That shall be my new name, the Ice Maker.
That'd be a cool name for a superhero villain. Maybe. Okay, never mind.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so maybe you can remember you know, how you put together your comic, how you draw it, instead of how you came up with it.
I had all these things that I wanted to say, and my brain just went blank when you introduced me. I try to play both sides of the game here, where I try to be kind of serious, but I also try to be very fun with it. So every comic ends with kind of a laugh or a joke of some kind. I also play both sides of the street when I'm drawing it. I start with pencil drawing, and then I scan it in and do everything else in Photoshop, which I don't think Ben likes.
You know, I don't think everyone has to ink with a brush, but I just think it gives the best look.
Okay. And
you know, it's also better, Ben.
What
color?
Well, if I could find a way to color 5 pages a week as well as pencil and ink it, it's you know, I only have a 1,400-page archive.
Mm-hmm. Outsource
it. Well, connect all your black lines, and then Aaron will just bucket fill.
Yep. I'm awesome at bucket filling.
Well, I'm actually a pretty good colorist. You should see some of the colored work I just did recently for a friend of mine. In fact,
that's another thing.
I'll bucket fill an episode for $5.
That almost sounds like a proposition of another kind. I'll bucket fill you for $5.
That brings up horrible, horrible images.
So how long does it take you to color, Neil? Like one page?
About 5 hours sometimes. Oh, it depends. It depends. If I have a lot of detail, then it takes me a long time. If I cheat, it'll take me about an hour or two.
Yeah, just bucket fill. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to put something on a link of a color I did for a friend of mine.
Okay. Well, Al and Abby won't be able to take a look because they're on the phone.
Okay. Let's see. I'm getting a link right now.
Off in the wilderness without internet.
This is the guy I was talking about before the show. So, how do I do this text message thing?
Just send a link to me, and I'll send it to everyone.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Hey, can I say something in Neil's defense?
Yes.
Sure.
In the team book we're doing together, he comes up with the best jokes easily, okay? On practically every situation he does, he's the first one to come up with the funnier bits.
Yeah, and then Al goes out of his way to make sure that all the jokes are contextual and tie into the story somehow.
Good to have it.
All right, I just sent the link out to everybody. You guys can check that out.
Yeah, that wasn't my line work, but you know,
very nice.
This person asked me to. This person told me he's practically colorblind, and he asked me to color it for him. I'm like, okay, I did that in about 30 minutes.
That's nice.
I'm still waiting for it to load.
but, yeah, 30 minutes.
That was pretty cool.
What do you think, Neil?
I'm waiting for it to load too.
Loaded for me. It's good. It looks like old Marvel, the way I used to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite outfit too. So I was very happy he asked me the color.
Sweet. Sometimes it's fun just going around and finding like line art of, like on DeviantArt or somewhere and just coloring it and sending it to them. Hey, look, I colored this.
Yeah,
that's my practice. It's
I think they usually like that.
Yeah, in fact, I found a pencil sketch by Ed Benz or however he pronounced it, that I want to ink sometime because I love inking other people's work. I love inking.
Cool.
So, that's an offer to the other guys. If you ever want your pencils inked by me, I'm happy to do it. Just let me know.
Already.
For me.
I gotta get to Abby.
Oh, right.
Before we go
I'm
too
here
too
too. Remember me?
Hey, hi Abby.
Hi.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Uh huh.
Do you remember when you updated last?
July 20 something last year, I think.
So far too long.
Yeah, it's been a while. I guess I'm the odd man out for that reason here. Odd human being out. I went through a lot of stuff and I stopped updating because my comic is thematically, I guess, a little different because rather than being a superhero comic first, it's actually semi-autobiographical first, and that's sort of seen through the superhero lens. So when things get raw, when things start getting real, I stopped wanting to write it and draw it because honestly, nobody really wants to hear about how miserable I was while my dad was sick. So I'm going to gloss over that and start up again, hopefully within the next few months. I have been writing it, and I have been, you know, working on the script that I was halfway through when I just stopped being able to do it. So that's a promise that I guess I just made.
Well, I guess we're going to hold you to it. And again, in case everyone kind of forgot, we're talking about the Green Avenger right now.
Yes, sorry about that.
No, that's okay. So you said it's not as a traditional superhero story. You're saying it's basically kind of like a journal comic turned superhero almost?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say journal comic because journal comics tend to be really episodic. They tend to be like, here's a comic, here's another comic that doesn't connect to the last
one. Right.
There are storylines, and they do, you know, they do form a cohesive whole, but they're, instead of being based on, you know, just like a fun story that I like to write, for the most part, they're based on things that have actually happened to me, or, you know, elements of my life that somehow easily translate into a superhero world.
Right.
So, I mean, obviously, it's not going to be, I get up, I have a piece of toast, and then I go to work. You know, it's obviously going to be more entertaining than that. And if it's hard to read it, it's not like you could look at that and say, aha, I know exactly what happened in her life in this situation that she drew upon. But it makes it a little easier for me to come up with stories that are remotely interesting if I am both inspired by my real life, but not constrained by the fact that, for the most part, the things that happen to me are really quite boring.
One thing I liked about your strip, Abby, is that it very much struck me as like a feminine equivalent of Peter Parker or something. It was someone that everybody could identify with, and perhaps what you just said sort of explained why, but, you know, I mean, there was a very real personality to the main character.
Yeah, I've heard that said a lot, and I'm really quite pleased with that comparison.
Yay!
Yeah, I do feel like it does. My comic strip does draw along the same kinds of lines as the original superhero comics did way back when, because people were, you know, writing about, well, like the Siegel and Schuster. The guys who wrote Superman originally. I mean, they had all this. They felt, you know, they were Jewish in this time period, which they felt sort of powerless, and so they created Superman, who, you know, has all these powers, and I feel like that's sort of what I'm after with the Green Avenger.
So you're saying Superman's Jewish? I thought he was Kryptonian.
Yeah, Jewish. I didn't know that.
Well, I don't know much about,
you know,
print comics at all.
Bor-El, those, you know, those words are Hebrew words.
Huh. I learned something.
El means of God, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, cool.
You know, that's why all the angels' names ends with E-L, like Michael and Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
And Goebbels denounced Superman as a Jewish fantasy. During World War II.
Nice. Some people have too much time on their hands, is I think what that comes down to.
And, all right. Of course, well, some people, you know, have not enough time.
Abby brought up an interesting thing I think we should discuss. It's a... She's talking about the influence in her story, and the influence was her personal life, and my influence was my outrage on what was happening in the print, and that's all I'm going to say to that without delving in further. Niels is Wonder Woman, and Al, what was your big influence?
Well, I'm Liv Tyler. Comic junkie, but basically my mistress is, okay, every major superhero is actually a bit of mythology transported to the modern day, like Flash and Mercury or Superman and Hercules. Basically my mistress is Athena, you know, is very much inspired by what would a modern Athena be like. And
doesn't she use
my part,
like Athena-related code names at times?
No, but a lot of the storylines are, if you look at them, you can see parallels between them and the myths of Athena.
Okay.
Like at one point, someone she was really ticked off at, she can influence minds, obviously. She basically drove them crazy and made this woman think she was a spider, which, if you know mythology at all, something
right.
that Athena did to someone she was ticked off at, majorly.
Good times. Well, we got to take our first break right now, and when we come back, more.
The Webcomic Beacon is an affiliate of The Geek Media. The Geek Media has a number of geek-related podcasts, blogs, and videos for you to enjoy. Check out thegeekmedia.com. Have news, milestones, questions, or comments? Send your audio clips or email to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com.
Coming through loud enough, by the way?
You could be a little bit louder, but it's still pretty good, though.
Yeah, we're keeping quiet.
Well, not when you're shuffling ice and sighing.
I'm not the sire.
Oh, who was that?
Heavily into the phone.
Uh-oh.
Well, I think
someone else.
I think the breathing heavily is me, because I don't sound. It must be me.
Okay.
Fortunately, I have myself isolated, so I can take that out.
So, what are you guys wearing?
Nothing.
I'm wearing my GeekCon t-shirt.
Nice.
Just some regular blue jeans and a t-shirt.
I love how everyone actually answered.
But it was a question. It'd be rude not to answer, Aaron.
I'm in culottes and an off-the-shoulder tank top.
But, let's see.
Anyway, I'm in mom clothes.
Aaron.
So everyone's still...
Aaron, are you still there?
This is the internet. I'm wearing whatever you want.
You lost Aaron.
Why are you in a banana suit?
Peanut butter.
Because
jelly
it is peanut butter jelly time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, Aaron, I guess you'd probably call T-Ball a little bit of a superhero comic too, in a way, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe in the old school sense, because you got, like, you know, Paladin.
Well, you know, if you read a lot of those old Sunday morning, you know, comics in the newspaper and stuff, you could argue that a lot of those people, like those Viking dudes, those were always kind of like heroes to me. You know who I'm talking about?
They were barbarians.
Hagar the Horrible?
Yes, Hagar. See, Hagar, that was like a superhero comic to me. I mean, Iron Man's cool, and I can't
all Hagar had to do was fight with his wife's bad cooking.
I know.
He always comes back after he's done writing something to complain about his wife's cooking or something else that's asinine. You never see him do anything action-related.
So why was he a hero to you?
Because he had the guts to say that to his wife.
I was just about to say, because he always came back. That's kind of bad.
You know what? I was actually a fan of Non Sequitur.
Really?
You were?
Oh, yeah.
Not anymore?
I sort of stopped.
Well, it got really, really political.
Yeah, that always kills
That's
things.
That's why I stopped liking it.
See, I'm a horrible
person. What I liked
person,
was that they had this
so.
They had this one Non Sequitur script where they had it had an orchestra, and it showed a sign that said critic section, and there's a can pointing right at it, and the conductor says that proper instrument placement always makes for the best performance of the 1812 overture.
I love that overture.
Army.
It's my favorite.
Boom.
Alrighty. Well, let's see here. Moving on back into top. We're back, by the way. We've been back for a while, actually.
Yeah. We were?
Sure, yes.
I thought you'd tell us first.
No, it's a lot more fun. Nice. It's a lot more fun if I just spring it on people. Then we get a little bit of underhanded.
You gotta edit some of that out.
I don't know what to edit out. I kind of like Aaron being in a banana suit.
Oh my god. Well, you have to edit it now. That way people will be wondering what the heck you're talking about.
I know.
So, <liked it.
clears throat> so let's see here. As far as there's been you know, print comics, you know, forever, and web comics are relatively new. Recapping history, you know, a little bit here. What do you guys think is like the major difference between print comics and web comics? And don't give me that crappy answer. Well, the web comics are online, like that dumbass guy. Frick, what is his name? I forget his name. Oh, yes. Stan Lee said to someone on a podcast once.
You just called Stan Lee a dumbass?
Oh, yes.
He is. He is.
She was trying to ask a serious question, and he was, I forget who it was. I'll find the link, but she was mentioned on Extra Life Radio, and she was asking a serious question. What do you think is the major difference between print comics and web comics? And, well, the web comics are online, you silly girl, or something like that. It's like, come on, you dumbass. You knew what she was asking, unless you're completely clueless. That was kind of a jerky thing to say, but whatever.
Well, he probably well,
having talked to
funny.
Some after, having talked to someone who knew him, Stanley is kind of weird. So
he has a very flat sense of humor. He was probably trying to be funny.
Right, right. But there's only a few ways to answer that question truthfully that aren't
true
really
believer.
Like my answer for a question
Excelsior.
Like that would be, like, quality control. That's the difference.
Well, yeah, quality, there's no editor.
Quality control or censorship or restrictions? See,
I look at them at the same thing, yeah. I mean, unfortunately. Yeah.
Plus, yeah, there's also, especially recently, the big difference is we get to create the story we want to create. Well, we have all these great writers that, you know, not to delve in too deeply with the print industry, because I know Fez is going to get mad if we do. We have all these great writers like Chuck Dixon and Gail Simone, et cetera, that have to work in this industry, and we have idiot editors like Dan DiDio saying you have to do this, you have to do that, and then you know, this disillusions these writers, and you know, just this year DC has lost, and they might not officially call the Lost, but they have lost Mark Wade and Chuck Dixon.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully some of our listeners follow print comics and know what you're talking about, because I sure don't.
I mean, I don't think that that's necessarily fair to say, because even the, you know, more, I mean, because most writers can write for whatever they want to. So, like, for instance, you have Warren Ellis and his Freak Angels, you know, which is not public, which is published online and therefore technically a webcomic, even if it comes from a print comics writer. And I mean, it's good, right? But it's not, you know, it's not like some sort of genre-breaking, mold-breaking, like, oh, thank God, now Warren Ellis is on the internet. He doesn't have to kowtow to those editors or whatever. It's, I mean, it's all about how much effort the writer is willing to put into it, no matter whether there is some sort of editorial constraint.
Mm-hmm. And
the writers themselves.
And we can even compare maybe the leap of editorial constraint, as you were saying, between like the Golden Age or Silver Age of web of print comics, where the comic hero code or whatever it was, where there were like heavy restrictions.
Code authority.
Yeah.
Comic code authority,
and that was in the Silver Age.
Yeah. And it's not like it's not. Things are, you know, I mean, you can go out there and find some pretty, pretty gruesome stuff in print.
In their main lines now, even.
Yeah.
Even in their main lines, that, right. You know, I won't mention specific titles, but gruesome, full graphic head explosion decapitations in a main title.
I actually appreciate that.
I don't.
I understand why, but. You know, I look at comics, web comics, as a reflection of society, the same way music is. And when that is too closely constrained, you lose that historical reference. You lose the, you know, be it the anger or the disillusionment of the society when you tell people, no, we're going to pretend that in this
world.
But
it is pretend. It is a fantasy story, and we're talking about a Superman title. For goodness sakes.
I know. I still, I don't know.
You can do whatever the one, if it's the Authority or Wildstorm or whatever, but we're talking about a Superman title. We're talking about something that's supposed to be easily approachable. We're talking about
go read the embodiment of all good. Go stick to the old ones and read the old ones.
I mean, there's a difference between like trying to get a message across and just gratuitousness.
Right.
Exactly.
And I think that in
right.
some sense it's going to be gratuitous. Like, you know, obviously we didn't come here to talk about print comics, so I'm going to just stop
correct.
Right there. But, and I don't think that the editorial constraints on print comics necessarily lend any credence to a webcomic being better, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I'd agree with that. I don't think that webcomics are better because they're not constrained. Obviously, we've seen what like a bazillion crappy webcomics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, so it certainly isn't a quality issue. But
right.
I think there is more freedom.
Yeah, there's freedom and there's potential there, mm-hmm. and that's
yes.
important to have.
It reminds me very much of like the Golden Age of comics, where quite frankly the art standards weren't that high and the writing standards weren't that high.
Right.
Wonderful ideas were done then, and you know, we have a similar situation now.
It is a medium in its infancy, is what we're trying to say.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, it is.
And I think one thing before we move on from the older comics, well, I think we can all agree that those are classics. And no one can take that away from them.
Right.
Yeah.
If I can be sentimental and cheesy. But
and you can.
But a big reason why you know, print comics is being brought up heavily in this show is basically because a lot of print comics, especially going back, are superhero webcomics. In fact, if you try to think of like old print comics, you're most likely going to remember a superhero-themed webcomic. Dang it, print comic.
Having issues.
So, but of course, and one of the biggest things was it was a hard market to get into, and you kind of had to follow what was popular now and what the companies wanted. And in web comics, you get a lot more like kids throwing out this and that, more cartoony type of stuff, less quote unquote serious superhero web comics or superhero comics, nonetheless. And I think that's the major difference.
Mostly stuff about two gamers sitting on a couch.
That's right. Not a superhero. We're talking about superhero webcomics.
Yeah, but superhero webcomics, yeah. And you also end up with a lot of niche genre superhero comics where you, for various reasons, never had that in print comic. You have GLBT superhero comics. You have, you know, ghetto superhero comics. You have these very distinct niche markets that could never be served in print comics because there isn't a wide enough audience, or the audience is too dispersed to really sell to.
Right.
Webcomics, you don't have that problem.
They're not the kind of person who would go into their local comic shop and pick something up necessarily.
Exactly.
Well, and I think the other thing is, on the internet, people who actually want to make comics aren't as concerned with what other people want. It's more what they want to make. Whereas in print, everyone cares about making money, and they think that everyone wants to read superhero comics, so they just cram them down their throat. But if you want to say, what's the big difference between web comics and print comics? In web comics, we're making the comic what we want, not to serve everybody else.
Another thing, they're also making money on the print comics.
Yeah, there is that.
That can go in general, but as far as the genre itself of superhero comics are concerned, it's more free, more custom tailored, and you can find a lot more different, probably untapped ideas and genres that are being missed in print comics because, you know, like what Aaron was saying and what you guys were saying about they're just too small for a wide sell-to-able audience.
Right.
Speaking of making money, you want to know how much money I made off mine?
Your webcomic or printing it?
My webcomic. You know how much money I made?
How much?
$4.
$20.
Sweet. That's more than I made.
I've got you beat. I'm sorry.
I'm negative $200 so far.
If we consider that I go to conventions of my own volition and not to, you know, not include that in the budget, I'm up, I think, almost $500.
Wow.
Lucky.
I'm a girl. I blame it all on that. I don't know what else to do. It's not talent. Oh, God.
So are you implying that women are talentless? Ooh,
I'm implying that I'm talentless. Okay, cool. It's really all it comes down to.
But, yeah, it's to anyone who has let's go back to the superhero webcomics. Anyone who has read my comic has noticed a lot of homages and a lot of parallels to a lot of events that and characters that have happened in the print industry. It's like, because, you know, it's unavoidable to bring it up, but we won't dwell on it.
Yeah. Well, and especially with superhero comics.
Yeah, and mostly what I've been doing is, you know, I never try to say I'm doing this better, but I'm mostly saying I understand the spirit better. And that's basically what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to not only teach myself how to write and draw, I'm trying to create something that catches the spirit of the classic four-color superhero story.
Right.
Where the good people are good, where the good guys are good guys, the bad guys are bad guys, and
yeah, I can relate with that.
And people's
and
heads aren't getting
are served.
And people's heads aren't getting pulped. And
you're trying to keep it real.
And you know, and people aren't getting raped and mind washed and making deals with the devil and having their marriages erased and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I can relate exactly with that because it's the same thing with my comic. You never see anyone die. You never see anyone get tortured. You know,
or torn apart.
Or torn apart. Nobody gets dismembered slowly. None of that.
Dismembered quickly?
So is there any brainwashing?
The trees get dismembered quickly.
So is there any brainwashing rapes going on there yet?
Oh, jeez.
Not yet.
That's nice.
I don't really see that fitting in T-Bull's world there with the mind-washing rapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, I'm just getting a very generalized idea of why I stopped buying print comics and why I'm doing a web comic. You know.
Right. Well, and I can understand.
Everything that brought me in. Everything that brought me in is gone.
It is. I mean, honestly, it really is. Yeah. There's a decided difference between comics that you would pick up today and that you would have in the 1950s. So I understand wanting to kind of harken back to.
Well, even today versus 1990s.
But that was not a golden age of comics. Let's not fool ourselves here.
It wasn't a golden age by any means, but at least we knew who the good guys were, and the good guys weren't that conflicted about being good.
You could definitely argue.
But at least there would be an argument that less versus today, where there is no argument, where it's basically bleh. Anyways, Al, you might have some interesting opinion regarding this as a bit of a historian on this subject.
In the golden age of comics, I don't know if you guys know this, but Superman and Batman was extremely violent to begin with. Batman
it was.
Had a gun
for the time.
And Superman threw in his first story a torturer a mile away. We didn't see him hit, but I'm sure he made a big splat.
It wasn't as graphic, but there was definite death.
Yes, but it's sort of like at the same time it's about the tone. Like you've all seen the Iron Man movie, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a part where he flies back to where he was initially kidnapped, and he starts killing terrorists. But it isn't this gruesome thing. In fact, everybody in the theater is cheering, and that's because of the tone is different. They aren't showing like Iron Man sticking his arm through some guy's chest and tearing him in half. He blows up a tank.
It wasn't Saw.
It wasn't about him killing the terrorist so much as it was about him destroying the weapon.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when the
terrorists had hostages,
he killed those guys.
Well,
that was a different.
Well, that was also done in. he could have paralyzed them. I don't know what that thing that he shot out, but it wasn't in.
They were metal fletches. They are freaking dead.
All right, fine, whatever. But my point is, it's not grotesque. It's not graphic, and it served a better purpose other than. I'm pissed, and I'm back, and I'm going to kick some ass. You know, he was, you know, saving people for a major point of that. And the other goal was to destroy the weapons as well. And we just lost somebody.
I heard that as well.
Who did we lose?
I'm still here.
Aaron's here.
Ben disappeared. Interesting. Ready? We'll just invite him back in.
Fetch Ben.
But, I forgot what the point of that is.
Webcomics.
Yeah, webcomics. So I think we pretty much have our answers.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I'm still here. I'm just...
Yeah, Ben, you disconnected for some reason. I didn't touch it. So, we're leaving you a voicemail. So, okay, bye. Okay, so Ben disappeared. So, Neil, you haven't been saying much, and that's kind of been true from the beginning. You haven't been saying much. Is there anything you want to throw in here?
About the difference between webcomics and print comics? Basically that a webcomic lets you do more with the canvas itself. You can animate it. You could change it after it's already been published. which I am very guilty of. That's about it as far as I can think of.
That's important. I mean, you know, with print comics, you're very much restricted. You're restricted to a page count. You're restricted to so many panels on a page. You know, your fonts, everything's a pain in the ass, you know, to try and get it all together. And on the web, you present it the way you want it seen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you can take as long telling the story as you want.
Absolutely.
Well, let's see here. We got... We're at the end of our time for this second part. But is there anything, real quick, anybody wants to say about what... if somebody's interested in starting their own superhero webcomic, what are some pointers that you guys could give?
Oh, try to be original. Just like you would on a print comic, you know, try not to put something out that everybody's read before.
Right.
My recommendation would be to reference and reference and reference and reference. Always reference. You know, especially backgrounds, because superhero comics tend to have a lot of cities. So you want to be able to draw those in a way that is representative, if not, you know, as detailed as your print comics tend to get. Just so you have a, because as important as the characters themselves is having a setting to put them into that makes them seem believable.
Right.
I would say, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead. I would say plan ahead and experiment. Don't fall into a rut. Like I always try to improve the coloring as with each new chapter, and I try to better the drawing deliberately. That's about it.
And also have fun with it.
Oh yes.
If you have fun with it, the reader will too.
Well, most of the time, people aren't doing web comics for a long period of time that aren't fun for them. So,
yeah, you do it twice.
Would be something you'd have to tell somebody.
Well, that's some very good advice there, and of course, you can apply a lot of this advice to you know, other genres of web comics as well. Ben is still gone, so I guess we're gonna have to. Do you guys want to stay for the news, or otherwise you can just go? I never know how to tell people they can go or leave or whatever.
I think I'll go ahead and drop off if that's all right.
That's certainly fine.
Okay.
Poor Fess. You know what? You'll give Fess a lot less stress.
Okay. All right. Tell us who you are and where we can see your work.
Okay.
No, like before you leave.
Yeah.
He just hung up on us.
Did he?
Yes.
Aw. Oh, who was that? Was that Al?
That was Al.
Al, wait, it still says, Al, are you still there? No. Anyway, that was Al of MindMistress.comicGenesis.com. Al, thanks for coming. Is anybody else going to be staying for the news, or are you going to be heading out?
I'm staying.
Nope.
I'll stick around.
What's going on?
I'll stick around. I'll stay in my quiet little corner here.
All right. If you guys got something to say. Abby, are you staying or going?
I may as well stay.
All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, the news.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on RampageNetwork.com. Be sure to check out our weekly live broadcast on TalkShoe.com. Listen in, chat, or call in at webcomicbeacon.com/live.
This is Byron at StripFight.org, bringing you the weekly ringside update. Round 172 berth went to Raygun of Raygun at the RadarStation.blogspot.com. Raygun surprises us all and pushes out a real winner. This week our labor force is working on Round 173, made in China. Miko goes for the gold. Tim gets a unanimous decision. Raygun does his magic. Stick Boy Bob toasts the competition and Aaron Strip is on the edge of greatness. Five people have entered this round. Go and vote for your favorite strip. The next round, 174, Arch Enemy, still has a few days left before the deadline of September 8th. Get those entries in. Stripfight.org. May the best comic win.
We did really good, actually.
I'm never going to listen to this.
No, you should, because you always think it's worse than it really is. Yeah. As someone who believes firmly that she makes an ass out of herself every episode, it's never as bad as you remember it.
No, that was awful.
No.
What would make it better?
Add some music.
Better, Neil? Me and you should start a blood feud. Let's do it. Right on this podcast. Start a fight over something really dumb, like grammar. You'll be like, no, it's whom, not who. And I'll be like, you know what? Shut your face, I never liked you.
Ooh, drama.
Have you ever seen the Brady Bunch where... I'm sorry? Have you ever seen the Brady Bunch where Cindy is on TV and she goes stone dead cold when the camera light goes on? That's basically what I was like.
No, you were fine.
Oh, it was terrible.
No, you eventually got some words in there.
You did.
Shame yourself with this next segment.
I want to see if I can add some funny music. Maybe that'll help.
Do like the Jeopardy theme in between the pauses.
I was thinking, but we might get sued.
Don't you dare.
We might get sued, so. You know, we can't use the full thing.
There's a website online that has, like, free sound clips.
On the podcast. Yeah. What is it?
What's what?
Now we have to listen to Fez argue with his brother for a while.
Oh, great.
I meant to go out to get some tea, but I'm on the podcast.
As long as
can I have
recording.
A paper towel?
But brother's telling me he's shutting off the coffee pot because I wanted tea, but...
Excellent. Nothing compared to that $120 electric bill.
What?
Our AC sucks so much energy. Besides, anyway, we're back, and we're going to do the news.
When
back.
Did we get back?
Four minutes ago? Wait, let me see.
Yeah.
2 minutes ago.
Wait,
so.
What you need to know is that you're never safe.
Yeah, you're never safe.
Well,
you're
that's not safe. Entirely true. He
well, eventually
forget.
You'll hang up.
Right.
Yeah.
And I will be free from you people.
Yeah. You had your chance to leave. You cannot leave anymore.
Oh, no.
You leave, I'll call you back.
Not brilliant. I chose poorly.
That is the saddest threat. If you leave, I'll call you back. That's sad.
I certainly cannot refuse answering the phone.
Especially when you're at a friend's house.
I was just peed on by a cat, by a rat. That's just very rude.
Wait,
please continue.
What?
Quit poking it. Anyway, got some news. We got some news.
It was just some news. A second
news.
Ago.
Oh, that I was peed on by a rat? That's the first bit of news. Quasi-famous webcomic artist Tanya Higgins of Beta Pwned was pissed on by a rodent just moments ago. That's all.
Awesome.
Back
well,
to you, Fess.
Breaking news.
Our old host, Zephyr.net, in the forums, if you go to Zephyr.net and check out the forums, they're in the art section. There is in the art forum or thread or whatever. There is a Zephyr.net logo contest, and you can win a $10 iTunes credit card or credit number or whatever it is. He has $10 for iTunes, and he's not going to use it, so something a little bit fun. Let's see. There's only one entry right now, so the chances are pretty good, but you have until September 15th, I believe, to get your entries in. Right now, the woman who does crow feathers and lawn darts, I forget. What is her name? Her login is Sage, but I'm wondering what her actual name is.
Let me see if I can find it real quick.
I guess just Sagebrush. That's what she goes by. So, whatever the real name is, Sagebrush, a person who does the artwork for lawn darts and who does crow feathers, crowfeathers.net, has one entry in. It looks pretty cool. And, well, if you want to try to win $10 for iTunes, get your entries in by September 15th.
Amy Watson.
All right, there we go. Amy, yay.
I I win. Okay.
Other news. For those who like journal comics, particularly journal comics from the other side of the pond. Well, I guess it's internet. So I guess we're based in USA. So the other side of the pond is the United Kingdom. We're talking about Planet Karen is now updating again. She's back.
Planet Karen came back. And that's thematic because she has a lot of references to superheroes in her journal comic.
She does.
She does.
I'm gonna see. I'd like to get her on the show sometime and talk. And I want to do like when we do our genres, we like to have like a lot of people. Well, or like a particular person to be on the show when we talk about genres. And I'd like to get her on the show to talk about journal comics.
I think it'd be fair and balanced in our... Never mind.
We don't be fair and balanced. We always try to be a little bit more on the positive, good side without trying to be so, you know, negative and mean. So we're not balanced, really.
I wasn't mean to anybody this episode.
No, not this episode.
I hard enough time.
No, we try to be pretty good. We try to be not downright bastardly, I guess, is the best way to put it. But I'm going to see if she wants to come on. But I'm sure she's got a lot going on right now since she's just come back. And she probably has like a million emails. So yeah, that's cool. And Ben wants to come back on. Should we let him on?
I don't know.
Well, sure. Just tell him that it's the news.
And he can't really say anything.
He can't really say anything. That's sad, but...
He makes snarky comments about the news.
And, well, that's all I have for news that's going on around the net. Anybody else got any news that they've seen? Not milestones. Those will be next. But anyone has some regular news?
I actually have quick beta pwn news, if you don't mind.
Well, fine.
Oh, please. I'm changing my update schedule. Squeaky. No squeaky clothing. I'm sorry. There's no more squeaky clothing. All right. I'll try to do one weird bondage one every 6 months just for T-Bowl. But beyond
no,
that...
No, Bondage Tuesdays.
Bondage Tuesdays. The serious news is that I am actually going to change my update schedule so that... Sometime during the week, I'm not going to tell you when, somewhere in a 7-day period, there will be the full page beta pwns. But every other day, there's going to be a Dear Diary or like a short one panel. So it's basically daily, but you're only going to get the one full page once a week.
Ooh, so it's like mystery? So like you have to
it's like a mystery.
To try to
every day.
It's going to be the update.
And just damned if I'm going to let you know when I'm putting up the full page.
That's awesome.
Yeah. it's the
awesome.
Random button. Okay.
And of course, Ben disappeared again. I think his connection sucks.
Aww. Bye, Ben.
Well, I'll keep trying, and maybe we'll get him in right as we say goodbye, because that'd be hilarious. I think that happened once before. I think
yeah
happened
with
you.
The person whom you're trying
yeah,
to
I logged
reach,
into. Okay,
unavailable.
We have Tanya here, so say goodbye. Like crap. Yeah.
Let's see here.
You have tons of news, you said. Where's your tons?
I wanted to save the milestones until now. Oh, wait.
No, not now. Now!
Not now. Now! Not now. Now! No, no, then! Oh, wait. Nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm referencing a joke. Anyway. Anyway, we got... Oh, wait, I totally had it. Oh, no, I had I have a music file somewhere. Wait, where is it?
That should just be the synopsis of this show. Nobody knows what we're doing.
I know what I'm doing.
What are you doing?
Working on my comic.
Awesome.
If I
I'm
knew
watching
how to make
my...
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm watching my kids play Monkey Catcher.
Oh, that sounds
what?
Like it, too.
Monkey Catcher. It's like an old PS2 game.
Monkey Catcher.
Yeah. You catch monkeys.
The one with the apes with the sirens or lights on their heads?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
What is it called?
Ape Escape.
Ape Escape. No.
Right,
what is it?
It might be Ape Escape 2. I don't know. There's more than one. There's several games about escaping apes.
Oh, guys, yeah, I'm back, by the way. It's
Hi,
sorry.
Ben.
My connection died because my router chose that very moment to die. So,
well, we're in the news now, so we're done talking about that. So, I guess just
is it just news about her comics?
No, it's news in general for webcomic universes.
Oh, okay.
So, unless you got something, we're gonna move on to webcomic milestones, and I cannot find the sound clip I was gonna play for that. So,
edit it in post. We'll pretend we're hearing it.
I can't even find it. So, anyway, webcomic milestones. I gotta say that the GigCast beat us to announcing that Planet Karen was back, and they update on Thursdays. And I gotta try to update this show on Wednesday so we can beat them. The GigCast also turned three. They've been doing it for 3 years. They're entering year four. The GigCast is, they quote themselves as the webcomics podcast, I believe, or something like that. But you can
so you must kill them.
Nah, they're pretty good. They have a very different style than us, more professional sounding, and they don't limit themselves to just webcomics. They talk about a lot of other online stuff and maybe a little bit more businessy at times as well. They'll talk about
To be honest, I like the feel of this show. It feels very casual, very – it feels good to be myself on this show.
On this show?
Aww.
Yes.
Aww.
We're like oatmeal.
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, I hate oatmeal, so be something else.
Not like oatmeal? Okay, we'll be something else. Cold cereal on Saturday morning?
How about you're like apple pie?
Apple pie. I don't know if I fit the mom and pop profile. I'm a little rude. That sounds very like
oatmeal. You're like apple pie made with Applejack.
Okay.
Huh. Right. We're like caramel apple crisp. That's what I love. Anyway, the GigCast at gigcast@nightgig.net. Check them out. Or if I get that wrong, I'll put it in the show notes. Also, we got Lego Star Galactica. It has hit 6 years. And I think every year, or at least a few of the years, he's done like a YouTube stop motion Lego videos. So check that out. He says this year isn't as ambitious as last year's. And I think it usually relates to what just happened in the storyline as well. At least last year's did. It was pretty sweet. So it's Lego Star Galactica. I think at legostar.comicgenesis.com. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, legostargalactica.comicgenesis.com.
Okay, right.
I think I do have two announcements to make. It's
Awesome. They'll have to wait until after the milestones are over.
All right, I'm sorry.
But a belated page announcement. I thought I mentioned it. I guess I forgot. Sarah Zero had hit 300 pages a few weeks ago. So Plughead is what he goes by, I guess, on forums. He also did the conventions cover for us for the webcomic Beacon a few strips ago as well. That's should really have these. Yeah, sarahzero.com. Circle versus Square has hit 100 strips. We've talked about them before on, I believe, an Impressions. Or a Searchlight, anyway.
Yeah, we do have a Searchlight, so.
And he said that he'd like to come on for when we talk about minimalist webcomics for a genre.
That'd be cool.
And we could probably get a couple of different people on for minimalists. We got to get Evil Couch on for that one.
Oh, yeah.
That's minimalist.
That's very minimalist.
Also, we got Galaxian. We've had Tara on the show before. That's Tara's webcomic. It has hit 2 years. So,
cool.
So to everyone with their milestones, congratulations. And, keep on updating.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, what's your news?
All right. Well, I have several announcements I should make. It's first of all, I am working on releasing a second graphic novel.
Ooh.
My first graphic novel had about 5 cells, and the second one is going to be far more ambitious. It's not going to be quite as linear as my first one was. My first one was just basically me redrawing my first 3 stories. My mm-hmm. second one will be a collection of all the stories focusing on my character, the Psy Kid, and. That's Psy Kid, not Psychic. Even though he is a sidekick, but anyways.
I gotcha.
This second volume is going to focus on the Psy Kid, and he's actually my favorite character now of all my characters. It's I created him. I created him as basically my, based on my feelings on a. On my feelings regarding the on the print.
Are you turning into Neil? You don't know what to say.
Yeah. Anyways,
do I
anyways.
Got a cover for you, Ben?
You got a cover for me? Anyways, this
the news.
This is going to be at least three times as long as my first graphic novel. It's going to be about $20 when I'm done with it, and it's going to have quite a wordy foreword written by me. The book's going to be dedicated to my mentor, who, as you know, died last December.
Mm-hmm. And
let's see, other announcements I have. Oh, I am restarting my own show under a new branding. It's now going to be called... What?
Oh, I was just asking what it was.
Let him speak. It's
going to be rebranded as Suckdom.
Okay.
Because with a name like that, I can encompass much of geekdom that sucks.
That is true.
And what is this again? You had a podcast or something?
It's gonna be a two for one. It's gonna start as like a YouTube or a Rever broadcast. That's gonna basically be about, you know, it's gonna be 10 minutes of me giving a spiel, and then at the end of the show, I invite people. And if you disagree with me, you can come on to my podcast this Friday and try to prove me wrong.
I got some news.
All right, Aaron, go ahead.
The new Slipknot album came out. Very, very good stuff.
What?
No, I'm serious.
The new Slipknot
All Hope Is
album.
Gone.
That's yep. not oh, news.
DVD. It comes. Oh, it comes gosh. With a DVD, and it was only $21.
Is there a webcomic on there? No, this is not news.
Yes, it is.
Who the hell cares about that crap?
He does.
Aaron does.
Yeah. Slipknot. Well, whatever. If you like that kind of music, I guess you can buy it.
Of course.
Can we move on to our searchlight?
Yes, as soon as I play the sound file.
And now for the Beacon searchlight.
All right, this week the Beacon Searchlight has shined upon Mind's Eye of Jupiter, which is at domainoftheinfinite.com. And I just sent this out to everybody, like, what, yesterday? To check it out. And, Tanya, did you get a chance to look at it yet?
I did. Obviously, my first gig against the comic is the fact that I went to open it up on my tablet and found that I needed Java plugins to see it, which is something I always kind of advise people against. You shouldn't really need any sort of extra plugins or this, that, or the other to
right.
view the comic. It was hard for me to get into because a lot of the action is explained. You know, there's these lovely little
over-narrative
boxes where, it tells you exactly like, oh, she landed on the planet and now she's opening this up and now she's looking for this. I've got the picture just right there. I had a really hard time kind of plugging through. That's really all I had to say. I mean, I get three or four pages in and I kind of just, I gave up.
Yeah, the also on the main site, it's presented. I don't know why people freaking do this. It's a blog set up with a thumbnail of the thing. You click on the. Nobody likes to navigate web comics like this. Don't make a blog presenting your comic. It's dumb. It's navigable. It's
plus if you have a comic, you should make the comic the central feature in the blog beneath it.
Yes, it's just
right. Of course, you can go on the right and click where it says read, and then you'll have to read it in like a Java or a Flash something. And now, what is that webcomic, Liz or something like that? Where they also it's kind of like an animated webcomic.
Yeah,
and. The problem with it is that it's designed to fit, so you can fit everything in whatever resolution the person has. And what this does is incredibly degrade the quality of the comic. You can tell it's resized poorly because, I don't know, they don't resize properly, so everything is kind of choppy, especially lettering. And
yeah.
This is just really bad. And maybe you have the really super huge resolution, but most people have 1024 by 768. And
yeah.
That is the standard. That is the major standard you should go by right now. The next one is going to be the 1280 by 960, I'm fairly certain. Laptops right now are 1280 by 800 because they're a little bit shorter because they're wider.
Right.
So still, you don't want to go above 1024 if you're going to force something to happen in Ben is gone again. But I don't know.
Yeah, the forced resizing pixelates really bad, and it just
yeah. So yeah. Two mistakes here. If you really want to improve your navigation, don't do what you're currently doing in either way that you're presenting it right now. As far as the comic, yes, you have way too much narration going on. I think it would be, I mean, as far as CG webcomics go, it's done better than a lot that I've seen.
Yeah.
But I also think that a lot of it could be better without the narrative. As far as when I was reading, it's like, boy, this would be a lot better without the narrative, and maybe something that's a little bit done either a little bit more frequently or done for the archive, so to speak, because it's a little bit slow, at least in the beginning. When it goes on, but I think it's a little over-explained. Aaron, do you have anything to say?
Yep.
Okay.
All right. So you guys already touched on a couple things. I didn't have the plug-in problem. I probably just had it already, but the navigation thing, I was like, blink, 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 okay. What kind of stupid blog program did this person use? Right? And then I did my little test where I look at the last episode, and then as soon as I found how to navigate to the first episode, I was like, oh, look, the last episode and the first episode look exactly the same. Strike one.
Well, it's a CG comic, for one, too, you know.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So I did kind of like then the Tanya test, where I go forward three episodes. I'll be honest, I couldn't read it at all. And it's not that it was unreadable. It's that I didn't want to read it.
It just wasn't your thing?
It wasn't. I would love to talk to a reader that likes her comic, maybe, and see what they see.
Make some ticks? So you can dissect them and figure out how are they so different from you that you would think they were from a different world?
Well, it's like, did you say that they were over-narrated?
Yeah, the text box, a lot of the text boxes that basically just narrate, it'd be a lot better without them. It's just kind of overkill.
It's painful.
It's painful. I couldn't read it.
I actually found it better when I didn't read them, actually, when I was just going through and I just clicked through and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Cool.
That's the only reason I made it to page 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think what should be
done. I know what you mean. It's like I always wanted to meet a Dominic Deegan fan.
I love Dominic Deegan.
You and Tanya can talk after the show.
Yeah.
No, like if I would recommend what to fix to improve, make it. It's kind of hard to get into. It looks like it has some potential as far as CG comics go. It looks pretty decent. I think it would be a lot better without explaining things and maybe go for a more artistic approach to it and maybe
just have the
dialogue.
Yeah, that's
when necessary.
Yeah, that's one of the first rules with doing comics as a whole is show, don't tell.
Yeah. Show the action. You don't need to tell us. We can see it. And
show, don't tell.
Yeah.
Do we still have Al with us, or did Al depart?
No, because we're on the news.
Hung up.
So.
Yeah, and we're also at the end of the show, too. So.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, we're already on 25 minutes for this third section, which is already getting really long because I got to add other stuff, which people who have the MP3 already heard.
But
I'm sorry. It's I didn't mean for my router to just die. I'm trying to get at it.
That's fine.
It's fine.
But anyway, so we got to sign off here. Everyone, thanks for coming.
Yay!
No problem.
Yay!
And what, Abby?
I just wanted to direct people to the project that I worked that was part of the reason I stopped updating originally. At blackhatcollective.com, you can find that a bunch of friends of mine and me put together a book called A Day in the Life, which you can't buy off the website, but if you email us, I'm sure we can find a way to get you a copy if you want one. It's an anthology comic, and the theme is The Fantastic in the Everyday. We'll be selling it at Minnesota's Fall Con in the fairgrounds on October, the first weekend of October. That's all I have to say about that. I'll be updating at the Green Avenger, or green-avenger.com eventually. So,
awesome.
Enjoy.
All right.
And that's all I really wanted to say.
All right, that's cool. And guys, hang back after we say our goodbyes here. If you'll try to guess the drill as I say, this has been Fess of FessandErnst.com.
This is Tanya of Betapone.com.
Aaron TableComic.com.
Can I do it too or not?
You go.
Okay, this is Ben Carver of PointGuardian.com.
This is Neil Purcell of DeCian.com.
That's DeCian Comic.
Both are correct. DASIEN.
I always pronounce it Dyson, like the Dyson sphere.
And Abby, go.
And I'm Abby, erstwhile green-avenger.com eventually again.
You better. All right.
Eventually, maybe, kind of.
All right, we're going again with another show next week. We're not sure what we're doing, but check out the website, webcomicbeacon.com. See you later.
That's all for the Beacon. Be sure to tune in next week.
Shocked because I was so used to reading your comic, and all of a sudden you finally started updating, and it updated, and my page went right to that, and I was like, "Wow, what the?
Wow, nipple!"
And so I'm like, previous, what the hell happened?
You were looking for more nipples, weren't you?